Hinterbühne, der Podcast des Theaters Ulm. Mit Gesprächen irgendwo zwischen Foyer, Rang, Podium und hinter der Bühne.
Hallo zur neuen Folge von Hinterbühne, dem Podcast des Theaters Ulm. Und heute etwas ganz Spezielles. Wir machen den auf Englisch, denn ich spreche mit Elena Lukas, unserer Ballettmeisterin. Hello, Elena.
Hello.
And I talk to Vincenzo De Lucia. He is our pianist, musical genius. Hello, Vincenzo.
Hallo, what an introduction.
Okay, gut. Elena, yeah, we are here in the ballet studio where also the both of you are meeting. We will talk about this later. But Elena, you are the ballet master, ballet mistress, choreographic assistant of the company, dance company in Ulm. What does this job imply? What do you do?
Well, we start every day doing training. It's a ballet class to prepare the body, to get warm for the day. And then I'm the one providing this training. And then we go into rehearsals, depending on the piece we are working on. And we work all the way through with our rehearsals. And then when we have, for example, performances, and then I'm also there for, assisting, basically, to keep the choreography in shape, to organize things that they have to be done, like, for example, the requisiten, or, to share music files and to cut them in the right way for the performance, or even music cues, It's a bit like multitasking job.
And how do you keep track of the choreographies? What is your system to know when, for example, Magnum has to do a dance in this and that way?
It's depending if it's a new creation or it has been already done. If it's a new creation, I can dive in at the same time as the dancer. So I can see how the choreography is being taught and what are the main points, and I create an structure and with the cues of the music. Also, if the choreography has specific counts, then I have to write them down, which movement, or if it's a group dance, I write as well who is coming from which side of the stage, or in which order they are in a line, for example. Like it's writing, I would say a lot of writing, but also with the support of audiovisual material, because I keep track of the rehearsals with the video that I tape during the rehearsal. And then we have also like an archive of videos from rehearsals in the studio, and then from rehearsals of the stage, and then it comes the video of the performance. So there is always, like, from different stages of the piece, a way to follow it in the video.
But becoming a ballet mistress, is that something you were taught to do, or how did you get here into this job?
Well, I was dancing. I started when I was just 3 years old because, I wanted to do ballet. And I started in a little ballet school in Spain, in Huesca, in my hometown. And then when I was a bit older, I was brought to, and I was brought myself because it was my strong will, to a bigger city with a better ballet school. And then I started to do auditions at the same time that I was in university studying something completely different. And I started to work abroad, first in Ireland and then in Norway a bit, Denmark. And then I landed here in Germany. And here I could have, since 2012, until 2000, how many years is this? 2021, I believe. When I started here, I was just dancing in Germany in fixed contract in different theaters. And then it came this idea of, yeah, somehow I just wanted to dance. I never thought about the idea of being on the other side like I am right now. But I got injured while I was still dancing in Schwerin. And my foot was not looking very good, and we were having a new premiere coming up with a guest choreographer. And then my ballet director back then, Jutta Ebnother, told me, okay, Elena, could you like to maybe assist? Or the guest choreographer, Isan Rashem? I was like, I don't know. And she really encouraged me, and this experience went very well. And yeah, somehow many things happened in between. Corona came, an intendant change came in that theater. So I had to find a way to recycle myself. And because it was clear I was not going to dance any longer not because I didn't want to, but because of the circumstances and the context. I applied here in Ulm. I did audition and I was lucky to get the job, so I'm very happy to be here.
But do you also miss dancing on stage, being on stage as a dancer?
Yes, there are many things that I don't miss of being a dancer, but the part of the stage, yes, I do, because I was always, it was my comfy place, to be on a stage. I like to work in the studio, but the stage, I really enjoyed it. And I always felt that it was a room to have kind of a very unique catharsis and always very different from one to the next performance. And that gives you energy to go through also the difficulties of the everyday's life, either private but also at work, because it's hard to come every day to the studio and just to put yourself in first position and do plié. It's not that light sometimes. So that gave me very extra energy, and this ritual of just taking care of yourself, preparing your body, preparing your mind for yourself.
What is the aim and the importance of the classes for the dancers?
Yes, so the class prepares you mentally and physically for the day. So it's an important piece of the puzzle that we have in the working hours during one day, because it's your start and it's where you meet again with your body. Maybe you have some tiredness or even some pain, and you have to adjust yourself, you have to scan yourself as a dancer and have a clear idea how you will approach the training. And also on the other side, my job is also a bit to scan the situation and think, because it's not something that I improvise, but I prepare as well. And I try to, yeah, that it has a clear structure, and it's a way of building up the strength and of the body and also, yeah, for the concentration, I would say, both.
Cool, thank you. And the class is also a moment in the day where you also work together with Vincenzo, for example. What does your work together look like?
Well,
sound like you.
Sounding, it sounds very good because he's playing. But I think we established and we created like a way to communicate. I had to adapt a bit also to the musical side, and he had to adapt to the ballet side. Because what we found out is that I speak in ballet or in dance language. And of course, a musician speaks in music language. So we had to translate to each other or either create something that both languages can understand each other. And I think this is what we tried to create somehow. And also with a bit of fun always.
Vincenzo, what does it mean for you to be the musical part of a ballet class?
For the ballet, first of all, like I think I never had before Ulm an experience with a ballet class. So in the beginning was a little maybe confusing. I think what saved me from the first moment was that in my life I did so many different things in music, and not only classical music, but I played so much also with several bands or trios, quartets. So I played a little from the street rock to the jazz and blues, and so I kind of acquired an easy improvising skill, or at least like to find my place in the moment. And so that helped me a lot in the beginning, especially when I just had to follow some movements that in the beginning also they were not super clear to me, like, okay, they are doing that with legs. What does that mean to me? And actually, I think that my job during the ballet class, it's mainly that, like to support them in the exercise that otherwise can be maybe too boring with the wrong music, or maybe too stressed, too stressful. Like if the music is not right for what they're doing and they have to adjust on what you are doing, then they have to think about, okay, like that's not really what I was expecting, so I have to do, then the exercise is for me, it's not for them. Like that's the main thing. They are the protagonists, I am the backlighter. For sure, it's not easy in the beginning, but at some point when you go in, and also working with some specialists of the ballet helped me a lot to see also like the way that they think about the exercise, and sometimes make the music during the... Ellen every time explains them the exercise in the beginning, and that explanation time is the most important part for me, because like I'm making the music while she's explaining it. So in the end, like, they won't be surprised of what I'm playing, or at least they won't be annoyed by what I'm playing.
The most important part is when I mark the exercise, it's not just about the movement, but I also show the rhythm of it and how many counts and how many eights, how many phrases the exercise has. And I say if we do it and or, what means like on one way, and then we reverse it. And if there is an extra time for balance, for example, and all these indications that I give in the moment for the dancers, as he said very well, is the moment for him also to catch the exercise and to put it into music. And like this is when the both things, they come together, because otherwise just the exercise by itself without this nice support wouldn't have the same effect.
Mm-hmm. Vincenzo, to come back to you and your work, you don't only do ballet classes. So
not at all.
No, okay, what else do you do at Theater Ulm? So what is your work?
Actually my main job in the theater is co-repetitor. That means that my main occupation is to work with singers, with opera singers especially, and help them learn the part that they will sing in the next place of the, in the next operas, in the next pieces of the season. That mean that we have a lot of coachings where we are there together, we read the score together, and we have to be trained in knowing the style of the piece that we are going to do, if it's something from 300 years ago or it's something from 1 year ago. Of course, there will be a whole world of differences in between, like even for the style in which to sing it, and help them, of course, also to like in my case, for example, when we do an Italian opera, then I can help also with the pronunciation, with the language, and like I'm a little more specialized on Italian music, because like when I worked in Italy, we like I played also different repertoires, but for sure a lot of Italian repertoires, and I specialized on it a lot. But then, yeah, mainly our job is to make them 100% sure of what they are going to do on the stage. Then after that, we will be involved in every stage rehearsal with the director to play instead of the orchestra. The orchestra will come with the singers in the last maybe 2 weeks or something more. Anyhow, like it's in the more in the end probe. For all the first weeks, we will play the part of the orchestra at the piano, so that the director can work on the scenes and on everything with them. And usually in the same moment, there is there also the conductor that will give some new advices where it's necessary. And so that's the main thing. Then apart from that, I work also with the Schauspiel department. That also is another thing that I don't know if I did it before, but I find it so interesting and so fun to also work with them. And also because there is another kind of freedom where you can kind of make the music for the play, of course, like in together with the director, but like it's so fun also to. I studied also soundtrack composing for movies and series and whatever. So I find also useful that study to always kind of find new ways or funny ways or classical ways to comment with music or accompanying with music what's going on the stage.
But where are you actually from and what was your education?
I'm from Napoli in South Italy. Forza Napoli. Yeah, my education, like I started with classical education when I was 7, and I kind of was lucky to find this teacher in my same hometown, a wonderful teacher with whom I stayed for more than 10 years. And yeah, like I did almost always classic education. Then when I was around 14, 15, I started to play with some bands. Like at beginning, they were like just friends that also liked to play some instruments. Then I was also turning around a little with some other major bands and like singers, especially Italian singers. So then I kind of trained myself. I always kept on with classical music. I studied a little around everywhere. Then at some point I stopped with everything that was not classical music, because then I started to work in theaters in Italy, so like I had no time anymore. Like around 24, 25, I dedicated only on that thing. I worked for 5-6 years around Italy, for like from theater to theater. There are not so many fast positions as a co-repetitor in the Italian theaters. I guess that we are too many pianists and too few positions in the theater. So then I heard about an audition that was going on here. So I did my audition and it went well. And then like I just came here to work. Yeah, like that's kind of quick summary of my background.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I always ask what you are doing in your free time when you are not in the theater.
Free time, what's that? Yeah, usually free time for me is working on what we are doing anyhow in the theater and like preparing the things for the next days. And but free time, real free time, anyhow, like we made a lot of friends in the theater, so usually either we go out or like we meet somewhere for, I don't know, sometimes we had, or just like chill a little and recharge for the next days. And
recharging, I call it being a potato.
Okay.
Like it's the day where you are actually a potato. You don't do anything, just existing.
Okay. Yeah, Vincenzo and Elena, thank you so much for this. I've learned a lot. I guess the people listening also. And yeah, we need to leave the studio now because dancers are here and you are giving class.
Yes, I have to get... Yes. Are you playing today?
Yes.
Ah, nice. Shall we start from the end and you can play a little coda, a little Don Q coda in the jazz style now, just to say goodbye. Bravo.